from Gillette Stadium. The Revs needing a big 3 points tonight at home against Chivas USA. Get it done. And the relief begins to set in as we welcome you to another edition of the New England Revolution post-match report. Final score, the Revs on the backs of a Lee Wynn wonder goal. No, it was a strike. Give them the firecracker of a goal to start the evening. Well, really in the later parts of the evening, if you will, as Lee Wynn's goal came in the second half. And that's all the Revs would need in this 1-0 win this evening over Chivas USA. Welcome into the New England Revolution post-match report. We're taking your calls right now. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. I know a lot of people filing out to their cars right now. Excited that the Revs, for another day, will fight in this playoff race. And we'll get Jay Heaps' reaction right when he gets to the conference table, press conference table. We'll also have Brian Bolello on the program as well, president of the New England Revolution. I'm Tom Quinlan, and as again, we're taking your calls at 617-237-1234. So, to begin the night, I would say that the tempo and the pace of the game really favored New England, because it wasn't like it was a game where last week New England was playing on their heels. The tempo favored New England here tonight, and the Revs were able to play their game. It's a game where Bobby wasn't really tested. Made 4 saves on the night, was the Santander man of the match on Comcast, which kind of shocked me. He earned it, but he earned it at the end of the day. My opinion, I give that to Lee because of the goal that you got delivered tonight was world class. In that situation, calm, cool, collected, puts it right into the back of the net. Nothing to worry about. And now we go on to Toronto, and now that is another massive, massive game where 3 points will be on the line. And you have to take 3 points next week against Toronto, especially seeing that they pretty much limped to the finish line tonight versus Chicago. So the fact that Toronto finishes in a draw tonight versus Chicago leaves the door open, believe it or not, still, for this New England team. I know this is going to sound crazy, but this New England team can still finish within the top three of the Eastern Conference. Absolutely incredible. And a win tonight versus Chivas USA, a 1-0 victory over Chivas USA, keeps the Revs in contention for a top three spot. And again, we're waiting on Jay Heaps to get to the press conference table. We're taking your call, 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. Another part of tonight that stuck out to me was, again, the consistent play of Charlie Davies. I got to really continue to echo the thoughts that I've had the last couple weeks of that this guy's being in this lineup, he's done nothing but improve the overall play that New England has gotten. You've gotten good offensive runnings going with Charlie Davies up top. I think you're starting to see the wings get more involved. The only problem with the New England offense right now is that when you get inside the 18, you're so limited on what you can do. The options that you have inside the 18, opposed to when you're advancing the ball up to the pitch, they're so different. New England, when they get inside the 18, still panics a little bit too much for me. And you need more situations like you had on the Lee Wynn goal tonight, where it was a simple back heel from Daigo to Kellen, and Kellen simply just lays it off for Lee. That's the type of finishing and consistent play we come to have expected from this New England team this year because of what we've seen in previous games this year where the offense was the story of the game. Tonight, it was the story of the game again. You have to love I thought the possession was good tonight. You don't really have any reason to walk away upset with the way this team played. The commitment was there tonight. The possession finished 65-34 in favor of New England. Doesn't get any better than that. That is absolutely incredible, seeing where this team was a couple weeks ago to New York, where they're getting outpossessed by a team with only 10 men. It's a much better offensive showing here tonight. All those people that are banging on the door for Jermaine Jones. Well, tonight's one of those nights where, hey, you're good enough without a guy like him, right? And I want to get to that, too, tonight. We'll talk about Jermaine Jones and the overall impact he would bring to a team right now, especially with the lack of playing time that he's had. So, again, we're waiting for Jay Heaps here. Revs with a 1-0 win tonight over Chivas USA. And we're taking your call, 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. Another element of tonight's game, too, was that it was a real chippy game. You saw a lot of yellow cards distributed on the evening. The final count was 3 total, 2 to Chivas USA, 1 to New England. But there could have been a few more. It was definitely a nip-and-tuck type of game, if you will, and is exactly the type of... I think it's exactly the type of game that the Revs played last year, and they would win, actually. They did really well in these types of games, and they showed tonight that they're still tough. All right. I think we're getting Jay Heaps inside the press conference room right now, so let's take a peek in as we wait. And it sounds like the press is gathering. Jay Heaps at the press conference table. We'll take it right now. Well, looks like we still got a couple of minutes there before we get Jay, but we'll stay with this just right until Coach gets to the press conference table. And looking at Mariners' 3 keys for the night, I think the Revs did capitalize on what you would have hoped that they would have. They jumped on Chivas USA. The Revs dominated the game in the first half, especially. I mean, the tempo really played into way the things that went for New England on the evening. They played a full 92, if not a full 90, close to it, because they weren't playing afraid. They were finishing tackles. Chivas USA wasn't able to counter, especially with the Revs on top, because I think what we've seen recently with this Revs team when they get up on top is that they'll take the lead, and then they sit back. New England didn't sit back tonight after Lee's goal. And you could say that they didn't really sit back after Charlie's goal last week, but they didn't finish out the game because they died at halftime. Tonight, it was drawn at 0 going into the second half, and they really were able to just carry the rest of the momentum throughout the entire second half because of... they had the lead, they had the momentum, and they had the belief that they could finish and get the job done. And they did it here tonight. And now you need to have that happen against Eastern Conference teams. This is the last game against Western Conference teams in this regular season. The Revs, impressive. They went undefeated at home. 3 wins against West Coast opponents. They had 2 draws here. All in all, I would say it's a solid, solid home campaign against the West. Now have that come up against the East. You know, the schedule does not get any more favorable for New England. Saturday in Toronto. The following Wednesday, midweek game, Sporting Kansas City. Then that Sunday against Chicago. And then you get you would think is a break against Montreal. And that's the first 4 games right there. 1 more left in August and the first 3 in the month of September. I mean, those are 4 action-packed games right there, including Montreal, because you want revenge on Montreal, right? I mean, that's the team that started this whole debacle in May.
So Frank, I'm going to get you right up.
We'll see what happens. Tomorrow, right? Jay Heaps, press conference table. Let's check in with the coach.
Yeah, I thought it was... you know, I think Chivas came with a game plan to really make it difficult for us, and they did. And you know, I think we made a couple adjustments at halftime, and we were able to open them up a little bit. But you know, credit to them, they did a nice job. But it was good game for us to get at least a goal.
Frank, do you have a question? We'll let you go to the top of the pack again.
It was not really a dominating performance, but was that good enough? And just sort of like when you know, got your memories back as far as winning.
I mean, yeah, we did. And I think, You know, I think tonight it wasn't dominating in the scoreboard, but I think if you go back and look at the stats, I mean, I think it was close to 70% possession. At halftime, we were at close to 86% passing. So we had our way with the ball. It just wasn't penetrating. So that was our adjustment at halftime. I thought we did. We almost wanted to, you know, one of the things we want to do is more penetration, more runs that were a little bit riskier. And if we didn't get that ball, we wanted to jump on them. And I thought some of our best chances came when, you know, we tried to hit a vertical ball that penetrated, and then we didn't get it, and we pounced on the second ball.
Kyle?
Jay, what about the importance of width when you've got that much of the ball?
Yeah, and that's how the goal came. I mean, Kellen got wide, and he did a nice job and pulled himself, and it was another adjustment halftime because Kellen was pinching in early. And we like Kellen to pinch in when he's on the wing during the buildup and, you know, closer to midfield. But once we get into that final third, final quarter, we want Kellen's width, and that's exactly where the goal came from.
Craig?
Can you talk about the decision to start Kobayashi and your thoughts on his performance today?
I thought Daigo was excellent. I think he brings, an excellent calming presence, and it allows Lee to have an outlet at all times. And I thought that was a good combination. I think also Scotty had a really good game, so the three of them worked well. And pulling Kellen wide gives him some opportunities to go one-on-one, and we really like when he can get one-on-one. So, you know, it gives us another look, and I think, we were happy with the way those three played in the middle.
Jay, can you comment about the value of Shuttleworth tonight? He made about three game-saving.
Exactly. I mean, those shots come really out of, you know, out of a mistake or out of against the run of play, and so it's even harder for a goalkeeper to make those saves. And I think, you know, the first one was a misclearance in the first half, and I thought he did a great job. He saw it the whole way. And in the second half, that save that he made looked a lot harder than it looked a lot easier than it was. But he positioned himself perfectly. We just went over on film, and that save really, I think, gave us the spark to go for it a little bit more, because you have your keeper, he makes two huge saves, and then you want to keep going forward.
Brian.
Well, I think it was a little bit more going east-west. I think when you say width, you want to get one side, then you want to open up the other side. So right away, Scotty started to find Darius a little bit and started to find Farrell a little bit, and it was a little bit more advanced. It was really hard work for outside backs, because when you play a team that keeps two forwards high, locked on two center backs, you have to find a help defender. And, we were pivoting really well. So Farrell would go high and Darius would get in, and then and vice versa. So it was a lot of hard work for those guys. And that was part of our game plan. And then we just had to kind of fine tune it at halftime.
Adam?
The goal came after you changed the point of attack.
We worked on it all week, and it wasn't good enough in the first half. And we were really in front of our bench. You could see, I mean, I don't know where you guys sit, but on our side, I guess you're probably on the far side, but in front of us, Darius was wide open a bunch of times in the first half, as was Diego, and the ball was just going down the right side. And I thought in the second half we did a much better job of making a conscious effort to really, even if it was just touch the sideline, to get it out to the other side just to open up, you know, the width. And I think it opened up the lanes to make passes, and they did a good job of that.
Last question, Julian.
Lee Wynn, leading scorer. What's been the secret to his success down the stretch?
I mean, he's just playing great. I think tonight he found good pockets. He got the, you know, I almost said a bad word. He got kicked pretty hard a lot. And I think when he gets it off his foot the first time and he finds a second ball, that's why I think he and Daigo work so well. A couple times Daigo was able to, he played at Daigo and then he got the ball back from him in a better pocket. And I think that when he does that, the game is his. And I think tonight he could have had, you know, a couple more chances if we start to shoot a little bit more.
Thanks, guys.
Jay Heaps, uplifted. That's the first time in a while I think we've heard a Jay Heaps press conference where he's been that relaxed. Happy with his team tonight. I think you heard one of the questions in there come from Frank DeLapa of the Boston Globe, and you heard him ask that it wasn't really a dominating game, but you had a lot of good things going for you here this evening. So I think the overall, you know, the final big key to tonight was the fact that you had a lot of the momentum that you finished in the first half with, where you had a lot of good passing going on. The possession was building throughout the night, and you didn't let Chivas push back, especially at times where you were discouraged with some of the overall play. You did good tonight. And you should be proud. 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. Quick phone call before we take a break. Hans is in Woburn. Hans, what's up?
Hi, I'm glad to see the Revolution finally win, because I am a Revolution fan, but I'm still a little concerned about their tactics. They weren't making very dynamic runs, and they were playing a very direct long ball style, which really doesn't work in higher competitions.
I agree with you, and I think ever since the Chris Tierney injury, you've seen a little bit of a different style in the Revs game. Again, I don't understand why people don't like a guy like Chris Tierney. He's good for me in terms of creating more offense, and you should be encouraged by the fact tonight, at least, for at least three consecutive games now, without your starting left back, I think you got a little bit more possession. Hans, thanks for the call right there. Unfortunately, we got to go to a break. When we come on back, president for your New England Revolution, Brian Bilel, is on the program. You're listening to the New England Revolution post-match report on 1510 WUFC. Revs beat Chivas by a final take of 1-0 tonight. We'll be back with more after this. Revs president Brian Bilel up next. Go nowhere.
This is JT the Brick, and you're listening to the new 1510 WUFC, where liberty has a voice.
1510 WUFC Boston.
Are you looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you'll want to dine at Terra Mia's. This North End Italian restaurant provides a simply divine culinary experience, and as quoted in Zagat's restaurant guide, pasta's without compare, and it's reasonably priced. This North End gem will keep you coming back. Terra Mia is simply the best Italian restaurant in all of Boston. Call 617-523-3112, 617-523-3112, or terramiarestaurante.com.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
JP3 Graphics in Weymouth can help you out with all your custom graphic needs. Specializing in custom vinyl stickers, motocross graphics, truck lettering, vehicle wraps, landscaping signs, and more. When you need something designed and printed, JP3 Graphics can do it for you, giving you the professional look you need without the high cost. Call JP3 Graphics today. Mention this ad and the setup is free. 781-812-0846.
Here's a breaking medical legal alert. Attention, users of the diabetes drug Actos. If you or a loved one has taken Actos, then developed bladder cancer, or if a loved one has died from bladder cancer after taking Actos, you may be entitled to significant financial compensation from the pharmaceutical giants who made these drugs. Our experienced attorneys are dedicated to help you get the money you're entitled to, but time may be running out on this opportunity. So you must call today. The information is free. There are no fees unless we win your case. If you or a loved one has developed bladder cancer or something worse after taking the diabetes drug Actos, call right now and learn your legal rights. This is an advertisement not valid in all states. I am a paid non-attorney spokesperson. Call the Tort Attorneys 24/7 right now.
Call 800-608-1881. 800-608-1881. 800-608-1881. That's 800-608-1881.
The South Shore's historic Italian restaurant, The Venetian in Weymouth, has been proudly serving families for close to 100 years. Family-owned and operated using Grandma's recipes for that authentic Italian touch, Venetian serves lunch and dinner, specials daily, and breakfast on the weekends. Join them Wednesdays and Thursdays for live music. Planning a party? Let The Venetian do catering for you. The Venetian, 909 Broad Street in Weymouth. Call for takeout, 781-337-4363. 781-337-4363.
Let me see you move.
Bunbury makes life miserable for Ricketts, who is out of his goal if the Reds can take advantage. Fagundes driving forward on the dribble. Ricketts back in. Charlie Davies onside, off the post and in. The flag stays down. Portland has no idea why that wasn't offside, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that second goal is always crucial. But with that being said, a one-goal lead at home should be good enough to get 3 points. So we just have to be better with the ball and take care of it. And I think, you know, if we were better with the ball in the second half versus Portland, I think, you know, they don't get any chances, and we win the game.
Well, the Revs avoided Chivas USA getting any chances tonight, and it pays off pretty nicely as New England takes down Chivas USA by a final tick of 1-0. And, well, never felt so good, right? A win in this area has been hard to come by this summer, but sunshine coming out in Foxborough once again, and we finally can welcome in our next guest here onto the postgame show with a win today. He's much happier. Came with a big glowing smile in between the break. President of your New England Revolution, Brian Bilello, on the program. Mr. President, how are you?
Very good, Tom. Very good tonight. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, I felt so bad for a while because we've been doing these post-game shows, and we would have you on. It feels like every time we had you in here for a while, we only had you in here for losses, and it was so demoralizing. But now, different age, new era, and new feeling. I like it, right?
It's much better being here after. I mean, it's much better doing anything after a win than a loss or even a draw. So, no, it's good. It's very good.
Thoughts on the game tonight?
Look, I think it's in some ways typical. You know, we have a lot of the ball. Again, I think we're still very dynamic. We've got a lot of great passing. We've got a lot of guys with great technical ability. I think we'd all like to create some more dangerous chances. I think, you know, we didn't force Dan Kennedy into too many really tough saves, which I think we'd like to do a little bit more of. But it was a great take by Lee on the goal. And after that, I mean, again, I thought we were in control most of the match. We certainly let them have a couple of chances, which is never what we're trying to do. But I think if we can continue to push and create chances, obviously our goals are going to come. And then, you know, when we have a lead, I think everyone's better with a lead, but I think in particular with us, it opens the game up a little bit more for us and allows us to use some of our more creative guys and more so than many teams. I think a lead is very helpful for us, not just in holding it, but we try to extend it, and I think it's a lot easier for us to do so with a lead.
Now 7 points in your last four games. How do you feel the confidence in the locker room is going right now?
Good. I mean, I don't think it ever got bad in terms of confidence. I think I would say, you know, it's probably more frustration than a lack of confidence, I think, going around, you know, for a little while there. But I think the confidence is back, and obviously with some wins rolling on, that we hope to just keep parlaying that into more and more.
How much of a constant battle do you find between young players and coaches, especially young coaches in this league? Do you find that there's a constant learning process when you're trying to figure out a good working dynamics when it comes to on-field play?
I don't know. I don't think I probably have a good perspective on that from some sort of where I sit. I think that's probably a good question for the coaches and the players. But, you know, in every locker room, it's a living creature. So it's a network of guys and coaches, and it's constantly changing, and there's constant dynamics there. So I guess that's all I would say about it. But in terms of sort of some of that stuff, I'm probably not the best guy to ask.
All right, fair enough. Revs President Brian Bilello on the program right now. And, all right, I guess there's no point in dancing around this thing anymore, I guess, right? Jermaine Jones, do you have some news up for us? Can you bring us something?
No, unfortunately, I wish I did have some news for everyone right now. But we're still very much pursuing Jermaine, and we're very much trying to get his signature. And then obviously there's some work to be done to figure out, you know, where he's going to wind up playing. So but we are still very much interested in trying to get Jermaine here. He's a great player. We think be very, very helpful for us as we finish out the stretch run and beyond. So we're going to keep at it.
What does this mean for the future of guys like Jermaine Jones who wish to play here in MLS? And in terms of hoops that people have to go through, you know, what type of I'm trying to find the right word here for it. I got thrown off there for a second. But what type of process do you see MLS taking now post this whole Jermaine Jones situation? Anything different?
You know,
when you're done, you get a
I don't really I really don't have a good feel for that. I mean, that's really a league question. What I'd say is, you know, the league is a dynamic league, and I think, you know, we're growing very rapidly as a league. We're trying to do a lot of creative things to grow the league, whether it's with players, without, you know, off the field things. And so, you know, that creates a change in the way we think about things, the way we try and sign players, the way we try and market, anything and everything. So I like that about the league. I like that our league is creative. I like that our league is dynamic. We certainly are a league that gets sort of stuck in our ways and never changes. So who really knows? But I think that's a good thing for a growing league, to be flexible and have different approaches and always looking at those things and seeing how you can improve them.
Have you talked with your players about, like, bringing in possible guys? Because, I'll be specific here for a second. A guy like Scott Caldwell, all right, I feel like he's had a good string of games. I mean, he's had to fill in for Andy Dorman here, and I'd say he's done a really good job, especially when you see a performance like tonight, when you get a clean sheet performance. Obviously, it's a team effort, but I just give Scott Caldwell credit whenever I can because of the hard work that he puts out there. Has he been pretty good with the news surrounding the possibility of bringing a guy like Jermaine Jones in?
I don't think there's a lot of conversations that take place, frankly, around new players coming in and potentially coming in. I think if we get a new guy in whatever position that is, you know, the coaches evaluate that and they talk to the guys that could be impacted in any way, whether it's a guy who plays a similar position or a guy who's going to be on the field or in the locker room with them. So, but in terms of the stage when it's just hypotheticals, there's not a ton of conversations going on at that point.
All right. Well, he's Revs President Brian Bilello. Brian, thank you so much for joining us on the program this evening. And, hey, we finally got you on here with a win. Now it's time for the rest of the playoff push, right?
Let's make it a tradition.
Yes. I like it. It's a good tradition. Brian Bilello, President of your Revs, thanks again for joining us on the program this evening. And, there you go. That's it right there. I think you have a good sense now that this front office has made the attempt for Jermaine Jones, and I'm going to get this out of the way because I don't want to talk about it for the rest of the evening. Jermaine Jones has been contacted, reached out. They've done whatever they can. Now it's on Jermaine Jones whether or not he wants to come here. Hopefully we have an answer very soon. But I'm still uplifted. I'm still keeping my thoughts with it. 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. Taylor has a thought on the game right now. Taylor, what's up?
Hey, great game by the Revs tonight. I wanted to call to ask you a question or at least get your thoughts on Diego Fagundes. Didn't play a full game tonight. It looks like that he was being rested. Do you think it's because he's taking some time off playing with the Venezuelan national team, or there's a reason he didn't go 90?
Well, first off, just real quick, Taylor, appreciate the call. He Diego plays with Uruguay's national team.
That's right.
I think it has to do with the fact right now that Diego's in a position right now where he doesn't present anything encouraging enough, I think, to go a full 90 minutes. And I think you're deep enough in the midfield, too, that if you want to get a different look, and this is what Jay Heaps was talking about tonight, you're able to do that. I think a guy like Steve Newman coming off the bench has a lot to learn, especially at his age. But I think getting him the consistent minutes in games, whether it be 10, 15 minutes, it doesn't matter what, I think that's good enough. And I think it's more important about getting everybody up to speed right now than focusing on the one guy, especially when that one guy hasn't done much for you this year. I mean, let's be honest here, Taylor. Diego was hot at the beginning of the year. He had a good string of games with goals in him, and he also did a good job in setting up a lot of goals as well for guys like Patrick Mullins and even a couple times for Teal Bunbury. But you haven't seen that in a while from Diego, and I think it's just time the kid was put in his place. I think that's what it comes down to. And obviously he's not a kid. He's a grown man. But if you wanted to put it in those terms, that's what it is, my man.
Hey, thank you so much. Just wanted to say you guys are doing a bang-up job for your post-game over at Revs. I'm a little jealous. Get to be at Gillette. Keep up the good work.
Hey, Taylor, you're the man. And you know what? You sound like a very good friend of mine. Got that soul right there. I love you, brother.
All right.
So, yeah, 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. Let's go to Jeff, who's got a thought on tonight's game. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. So I just turned in. I don't know if you guys have already talked about this. I heard you talking about Jermaine Jones a little bit. I heard a theory that he never actually wanted to come to the Revs, that he was using them to drive the price up to the Fire. And then since he got the Revs involved, he had to sign through MLS and go through allocation. And that's what the holdup is. He wants to guarantee that he's going to the Fire. Do you guys know anything about that?
I would say this about Jermaine Jones, my man. And that is, there is nothing set in stone yet. Until we get official word from any type of team, league, or official representative of Jermaine Jones, don't believe anything that's out there. Because the only person that knows what Jermaine Jones wants right now is Jermaine Jones. There is a ton of speculation. There are rumors out there that aren't even true. I think there's more pressure on the Fire right now to get a deal done than there is the Revolution. I think, if anything, the Revolution being a part of this Jermaine Jones deal really does... And this is going to sound crazy, but in a sense, it puts Chicago behind the eight ball, because New England, if you think about it, has the expenses to pay for a guy like Jermaine Jones. So I don't buy it that the Revs didn't shell out the money for a guy like Jermaine. It comes down to this. Does Jermaine Jones think he can win with Chicago? Or does he think he can win now with New England? And 18 months, maybe all you get out of Jermaine Jones, but make sure you get the most out of those 18 months. You got anything else, Jeff?
No, just that. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, brother. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. I'm not saying – I'm not going to go down the path that Jermaine Jones doesn't want to be here. I'd be shocked if you ever get a player to say, I don't want to play in New England because it's a football stadium. It's not that way. It's, can you win now? That's what matters most. 617-237-1234. Pete, we have somebody in the phone line right now. Is that what we got? Greg, we got Greg. All right, let's go to Greg. What's up, Greg? Greg, you there? One more time. Greg? Do we drop him? Okay, we dropped him. All right, 617-237. Greg, if you're listening, call back. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Ask your Jermaine Jones questions. Ask your Bobby Shuttleworth questions. Ask your Lee Wing questions. Ask any question that you got right now, because we'll get it done. And, you know, now moving forward, we started talking about this right before Jay's press conference, and, you know, we'll get back into it again. Yeah, we got Greg again. All right. Let's go to Greg right now. Greg, what's up?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Nada, I'm leaving the game right now. Feeling pretty good about it. We got 3 points. Really, that's all that matters. I felt like we probably should have more goals, but we didn't get it. You know what I mean? But we got the win.
What was missing from tonight's game for you, Greg? What was missing from tonight's game?
What's that?
What was missing from tonight's game from the Revs for you?
A striker that can score goals.
Really? I think that echoes a lot of the sentiments of fans. Yeah. Well, here's
Jones is not that guy. He's not coming here. He doesn't want to come here. If he was crapped off at the money, he doesn't want to come.
I'm not buying it, man.
He would have been here all now.
I'm not buying it. No. I agree that Jones is not a striker, and I agree that Jones is not the answer for your problems up top. But here's where you're wrong. The Crafts, I believe, did make the offer. I do believe
they did.
I believe they actually gave Jones the money that he wanted. It comes down to this. Can Jermaine Jones make a serious playoff run with New England, or can he make a serious playoff run with Chicago? Both.
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Jermaine Jones, Chivas USA out of L.A., right?
Sure.
Chivas USA is rebranding, changing their team, new ownership next year.
Sure.
If he can stay in L.A. and not play for the Galaxy but play for a new whoever Chivas becomes to be, why would he not do that?
Why would he want to play for...
We all know Kraft offered the money more than Chicago, more than any other team, but obviously Jermaine Jones was just trying to get two teams to up his ante because, let's get real, he had a better World Cup than Michael Bradley, and what did Michael Bradley do for us in the World Cup? Jermaine Jones wants the money. He's not going to play in New England. If he would, he would have been here right now. No?
I agree with you that Jermaine Jones had a better World Cup and that Jermaine Jones outshined Michael Bradley and probably could still do it now today. I agree with that. But here's where we're going to disagree, my friend. Can you get 18 consecutive months of good football from Jermaine Jones? I don't believe you can. And here's a big reason why.
He's been partying too much. Too many experiences.
He has not done anything related to football activities. And thanks for the call, man.
Right on.
Here's where you're on the fence about whether or not you sign Jermaine Jones. Do you want to bring in a guy that has not played competitive football for over a month and a half now? We're approaching 2 months that Jermaine Jones has not done anything professionally. 32 years old. This guy is not getting any younger. And this league is not getting any easier. I'm sick and tired of hearing people not giving MLS the credit it should get for the high demanding physical play that you get on a weekly basis here. You cannot come out of shape. Show up. You need to, because you're not going to be able to compete with the rest of the league. Trust me. 617-237-1234. And that's the thing. If Jermaine Jones isn't fit enough, then don't sign him. Okay? If Jermaine Jones is fit enough and you have the money to do it, then yes, make the deal. I'm with the fans completely on that one. But here's where we disagree. If Jermaine Jones is not match fit, and if it doesn't seem like Jermaine Jones for 18 months is going to be worth the investment down the road, then don't even make the risk. But I don't think either team feels that Jermaine Jones will come in here out of shape either. Obviously, if one of these teams felt that way, they would have dropped out last week. That's just me. 617-237-1234. We only have one highlight on the night. And again, calls, as always, courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet here in New England. But it is the most important highlight of the evening. And it's, you know, again, it wasn't the best of games for the New England Revolution, especially for what we know. We've come to know how good this team could be. But again, tonight, against the Chivas USA team that has been hurting, trust me, they were able to jump on him tonight. And it was in the second half of the game where Lee Wynn gets a beautiful ball set up from Kellen Rowe off of a incredible back heel from Daigo Kobayashi. And in the 56th minute, it's New England's 2014 MVP, Lee Wynn.
First touch pass inside, dragged back by Kobayashi. Didn't come off, but it falls for Wynn. Side of goal, shot, and it beats the keeper! That's a winner for Wynn! The Revs up 1-0!
And again, Brad Feldman on the call right there. On the evening with Paul Mariner. And there you go. That's the one highlight. That's all you need on the night. Lee Wynn getting it done. I mean, if you could put a real big exclamation point on it, it's the tenacity that this guy plays with. Just relentless all season long. 9 goals, 2 assists on the year. Give it to him. He's worked the hardest. He got snubbed from the All-Star team, but he hasn't missed a beat. And, you know, I think there was a couple of games recently that he hasn't pulled it together, but it's rare that Lee doesn't pull it together. He really does show why he is a potential MVP in this league, and he's definitely the MVP of the Revs. All right, Pete, we got one more caller. Who is it? Where are they from?
I think his name is Meg.
Meg, like nutmeg. What's up?
What's going on, Nutmeg? I'm glad you've gone on to that.
So what's going on?
I think when Lee scores, the Revolution always wins. He's the best.
Who's the best?
He's our best player. We need him to be firing all cylinders, and we don't have a striker that he should be passing to.
Who is this you're talking about?
I'm talking about Lee Wynn.
Okay.
When Lee scores, everybody wins.
I like your pun right there. You know what? Here's a stat for you, Megs. Lee, when he scores in a game for the Revolution, the team is now 6-1-1 on the year, with the only loss coming against the LA Galaxy. But New England, 6-1-1 in matches this year where Lee Wynn scores. Absolutely incredible,
Megs.
He's
our best player. We have
MVP.
No striker for him to pass the ball to. Charlie Davis has been playing pretty well lately. You know what I mean? But I like Taylor. I like when he's coming on. Maybe he'll fit in nice, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
I don't think Jermaine Jones is the answer, that's for sure. I think we got a good, pretty good team. But we just need somebody that's going to go to the goal, head toward the goal. We always look weak.
Megs, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Listen, a lot of people I don't think would disagree with you. Go for the goal. Continue to pound that middle of the box, because if there's one area on the field where the Revolution have struggled consistently all season long, even during this five-game winning streak, it was the area inside the penalty box. They were miserable, and they've been miserable in that part of the field. They don't know what to do with the ball. Tonight was the first time all season, I think, you had good combination play inside the area, and you finished. Bam. Get it done. And that's that. Get it done inside the area, and the rest will play itself out. You know, I always have been critical of this Revs team offensively as of late. But you got to give them credit here tonight. They really did battle. All right. It's 10:25 on the East Coast right now. Good evening to everybody listening in California, if you're listening on 1510WUFC.com. To everybody driving home, if you want to call in, chime in on tonight's match. 617-237-1234 is the number to call. And when we come on back, we'll go around the league next. The Revs getting the job done versus Chivas USA tonight, 1-0. We'll be back with more in your calls after this. Go nowhere.
Do you live with stress? If you have nervousness or common everyday anxiety, we're looking for you. Because right now we're sending risk-free supplies of a fast-acting supplement to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls right now will learn how to get a risk-free bottle of Stress Block, a naturally derived formula that promotes feelings of calmness, focus, and well-being in a great-tasting chewable. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-297-9860. Stress Block is a fast-acting, non-prescription formula to support relaxation without causing drowsiness. Your nervousness is guaranteed to begin fading like magic in no time. This special risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for this exclusive Stress Block risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-297-9860. That's 1-800-297-9860. Call 1-800-297-9860.
Our nation's sea services protect our waterways, eliminate threats around the world, and safeguard Americans at sea. They have been a vital part of our nation's defense since 1775. Help keep our sea services strong. Support our Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and U.S. Flag Merchant Marine by enrolling as a member of the Navy League of the United States, the number one advocate for our sea services. Learn more at NavyLeague.org. The Navy League is a CFC participant.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-593-5634. 1-800-593-5634. That's 1-800-593-5634.
Tia's, Boston's waterfront outdoor cafe and bar, is now open. Located on 200 Atlantic Ave, adjacent to the Marriott Long Wharf, serving up daily lunch and dinner specials, including the famous Tia's Lobster. Come hang out on the patio, enjoy great beer and wine selections, martinis, and summer favorites, including a frozen creamsicle crush, along with a Boston's energy drink. Do what all professionals do say, meet me at Tia's. Call 857-488-5387. It's Tia's on the waterfront.
When I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound, we fell in love as the leaves turn brown, and we could be together, baby, as long as skies are blue.
1510 WUFC, welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report. Revs, 1-0 winners tonight over Chivas USA. Now the Revs, 9-12-3 on the year. Chivas, 6-12-6. Again, welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report. I'm Tom Quinlan, joined now by Revs play-by-play announcer Brad Feldman. Brad, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for taking some time here. A little impromptu.
Yeah, well, you know, we're in the neighborhood, so it's good to be back on again.
Thank you very much. Happy with the win this evening?
I think the Reds can be real happy with it. Chivas USA came with a pretty obvious game plan to sit in and counter. They're organized defensively. They're playing physically. They committed 20 fouls, some of them pretty rough, which is not to say they're, you know, the Reds pushed back, but no doubt the Chivas were trying to chop up the game, slow up the game. When Jay Heaps was coming off at halftime, he was complaining about some of the time-wasting tactics, even at 0-0 in the first half. He felt four injuries that took a lot of time off. And so Chivas USA were playing for a result, really. They would have been happy with 0-0, 1-1. You know, they had to, once they allowed the goal, and it was a great goal by Lee Wynn, then they had to stretch and push some guys higher up the field. But even then, they're chopping things up. And I think that they're, you know, if the Revs had gotten a second goal, you know, that would have been, you know, I think Chivas USA goes away. But comprehensive team performance, back to front, Bobby Shuttleworth, terrific. The back four, mostly limited, Kubo Torres, you know, three shots only, the one on goal. Never really troubled the Revs defense because of the way they managed him into bad spaces. And Scotty Caldwell in front of them. Daigo Kobayashi, man of the match candidate, actually. Really terrific. So is Caldwell. And Lee Wynn, obviously. So, yeah, great performance.
I thought the tempo favored New England this evening. And I thought one of the interesting things about the night was, and you mentioned it just before, about, you know, time wasting. The game was very physical. The Revs were not afraid to push back tonight, I thought. What do you think about the overall fight back in games that we've seen from the Revs, you know, recently, that they're not afraid to be physical, it seems like, anymore, where in the past it seemed like they enjoyed playing more of that finesse game and really expose teams for lacking speed?
I think that tonight was they didn't get drawn into a lot of silly stuff. I don't think that this is an overly physical team. I think, you know, Jay Heaps would like to see some more physicality out of his guys. Obviously, somebody like Jose Gonsalves, Andrew Farrell brings a lot of muscle. I think the perception is that they lose some of that when Caldwell comes in for Dorman. If you look at the pure stats, Dorman's much, you know, involved in a lot more tackles, whereas Caldwell's involved in more interceptions. You know, he makes the plays on the ball, not on the man. I think it's a question of the overall work rate. So the Revs obviously didn't commit as many fouls as Chivas on the night. I don't have the stat sheet in front of me. I know Chivas committed 20 fouls. I think the Revs were under 10. So, you know, it was a big disparity. That's not the overall measure. I thought that when you saw Teal Bunbury come on, for example, I thought he was very effective in closing down, pressing. When the Revs lost the ball, trying something in the attacking half of the field, He jumped right on it. And on the post-game television show, Jay Heap said that was by design. That's what they wanted. Same thing with Kellen Rowe. He did some of that. Certainly, Lee Wynn and Daigo Kobayashi worked very, very hard. And again, I'm going to mention Scotty Caldwell's name because I think he's underrated as a defensive midfielder. And, you know, he went in on that challenge with Minda, Osvaldo Minda, who's one of the chippier players in the league. And he didn't back down, won the ball, then got fouled. So I'd say, yeah, I think they're stepping up. I don't think, you know, I think it's something that Jay Heaps has preached. I think that you're putting it in a nice way. I think the Revs had the perception part of last year and the, you know, first part of this year that, you know, when they play their stuff and they focus on playing their soccer, they can get pushed around. And I think they push back just enough. But, they don't get caught doing silly stuff for the most part, and that's good.
Charlie Davies went much longer tonight. How do you feel like he looked?
Fitter and fitter. He does a very good impression of a classic number nine. He's not even 6 feet tall, right? He's not the body type that you expect.
The energy is incredible.
Terrific energy. And he's got a clean first touch. His movement is good. Without that explosive speed he had earlier in his career, he's now reinvented himself as somebody who can play a very smart game. And so even though he didn't score tonight, he was a huge part. I do think that, you know, the Revs in the first half were almost too possession-oriented. It was like 70-30 in their favor without a lot of penetration. In the second half, they really picked up the tempo, and the opening 20 minutes of the second half were Very impressive. And a little sloppy. There's a little spell there, 10 minutes or so to go, where they had a bunch of giveaways out of the back, where I thought they might lose their lead. But they sort of settled things back down, and I think we're worthy winners.
Bobby, only in the last one before we let you go, Brad Feldman of Comcast Sportsnet New England, play-by-play announcer for your Revs. Last one before we let you go, Bobby Shuttleworth's only allowed 7 goals in 6 games now, including tonight. The overall confidence that you think Bobby's now going to take for the rest of the season in what is going to be 5 incredibly important matches right out of the gate.
Confidence is key, and, you know, when goalkeepers will tell you, you know, the ball looks bigger, right? It slows down a little bit. I think that you see how quickly Shuttleworth has gotten to the ground on key saves. Tonight he made one where I don't know how he kept it. I think it was Sturgis who put it on frame. He also had a couple of good saves on Borja. He preserved the point last week. Let's not forget, even though it felt like the Reds let a lead slip away, you know, he had a very important save last week against Portland, and you could say that he saved, you know, points both, you know, the last 2 weeks. So that's what you need to make a playoff run. And a lot of it's the collective team defending, the kinds of shots he's seeing when the Reds are not playing well in the middle of July. You know, he's getting beaten near post, but a lot of those were from close range, and people were faulting Bobby Shuttleworth. You know, there are 3 goals I can think of where, you know, 2 of them where he got beaten near post against LA and Dallas that were bad. And then he got caught a little out of position on that chip by Dax McCarty. And people were saying that he wasn't the guy, but right now he looks like the guy. The stats you just cited are real. And, you know, the highlight reel that you see is real. It's not just the reaction saves, but it's also the way he commands his box, helps organize the defense. And, you know, he just passed Jeff Causey to second all-time in career appearances for a goalkeeper for the Revolution. In part, that's because Matt Reese is the man for so long. And he, but it says that it speaks to the fact that Shuttleworth is now a seasoned keeper and, you know, could very well be the guy to backstop the Revs to run into the playoffs this year.
You think this is all that he needed was just a little bit more seasoning where he's getting the consistent minutes every day? He's known as the guy, and just the mentality being there. That's all he needed, being that final step to consistently showing up on a night like tonight where you need him.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I also think it's what goes on in front of him. You know, goalkeepers can be hung out to dry, and I think he'll never throw his defense under the bus. But there are times when the defense threw him under the bus. There are other times too where he didn't look his best. I think that Bobby Shuttleworth, you know, so much of that position is mental sharpness, experience, positioning. It's not just pure athleticism and shot stopping ability. And he's, because of what you say, yeah, he's the consistent reps in goal. He's starting to get there.
All right, he's Brad Feldman of Comcast Sportsnet. Brad, hey, good luck Monday, all right, buddy? Liverpool and City.
It's a big game. Looking forward to it. Thanks,
man. It should be fun. All right, Brad Feldman. We'll see you against Toronto. That should be good when the boys will be back up north to take on the Reds in Toronto. So it should be good. As again, final score here this evening, the Revs, 1-0 winners over Chivas USA. And you know, yeah, maybe squeezing a few calls. 617-237-1234. Absolutely amazing. I just saw DC's up 3-0 on Sporting Kansas City. That's absolutely incredible. When you think about the tightness that you thought that would not be there at the end of the season, oh my gosh. You know, DC could really make a real good push to win the Eastern Conference. And granted, I'm not saying the Revs could finish in the top two, but think about that. Just the possibilities with DC this year. Ben Olsen, man, give that guy a lot of credit for doing the bang-up job that he's done. All right, real quick, we've got about 7 minutes, give or take, left in the show. Let's go around the league and check out some scores. First off, we'll lead off in Frisco, Texas, where FC Dallas, 2-1 winners the other night over Real Salt Lake. So that's last night. FC Dallas taking down Real Salt Lake. Huge in terms of playoffs. Dallas climbing the standings now, sitting in second place in the West with 42 points at 12-7-6. Real Salt Lake also with 42 points, but wins separate the two teams as Salt Lake has 11 wins. They sit 11-5-9. New York 4-2 winners tonight over Montreal. It was a shootout down there. Up there at the Saputo Stadia. Montreal had a 1-0 lead. New York was in a seesaw battle, but in the end, Man, you know, Bradley Wright Phillips, MVP easily for me this year. As, you know, both Thierry Henry, the king, we are not worthy, and Bradley Wright Phillips putting up braces tonight for New York. No, not braces that you get in your mouth. Braces as two goals for a player in a soccer match. A little European knowledge for you. Now you're educated. Toronto, 2-2 tie tonight with Chicago. That's huge in terms of standings for the Revs. I really do think that Toronto will fall hard from third place, especially now that you don't have Julio Cesar anymore. It'll be interesting to see where they finish up. The Revs only sit 3 points behind Toronto FC. And with a win next week, the Revs could be back in third place on wins. Absolutely incredible. And then obviously Columbus, huge 3-0 win tonight over Houston. I really did think that Dom Kinnear's team would start pushing here as they're right on the cusp of making the playoffs. The Dynamo with 25 points, 7-13-4, really could have used 3 points tonight to stay right there with New York, but they're losing a grip on it and might lost with 6 points sitting out. They could have their season lost here tonight. New England, obviously, 1-0 winners over Chivas USA. Lee Wynn winning for the Revs. And they're sitting in sixth place right now, just 1 point behind the New York Red Bulls. And the shocker of the evening is now finished. DC United downs the Kings of Sporting Kansas City. 3-0. Take 3 points. And guess what? Ben Olsen's DC United is in first place in MLS. What? Are you kidding me? Fabian Espindola with a goal tonight. Chris Rolfe with a goal tonight. And DC, shocking win over Sporting Kansas City. That's going to be a fun finish for the rest of the playoffs. Also, let's checking out quickly the games for the league. The rest of the weekend, you have LA and Vancouver tomorrow night in Vancouver. Carl Robinson's team sitting in fifth place right now. Could continue to climb the Western Conference boards. We'll see what they do there. Portland and Seattle, Cascadia Cup at CenturyLink Field. That's a 5 o'clock start on Monday night. Two games on Monday night. You have Portland and Seattle on ESPN2. And then on Univision, you have San Jose and then Philadelphia at 8 o'clock. So, good healthy amount of games coming up here. But for the Revs, for one more time here this evening, take down Chivas USA by a final count of 1-0. It is Lee Wynn's goal. That is the game winner of the evening, and it came in the second half. And now, moving forward, both teams back in action next week. Chivas USA, who has not won a game since July 12th, will be at home to take on the Los Angeles Galaxy, but that's obviously a home game for both teams because they share a stadium. And then the Revs will be up north across the border to take on Toronto FC. Michael Bradley, Gilberto, Jermaine Defoe, we'll see what they do. We'll talk with Curtis Larson of the Toronto Sun at some point next week. Follow me on Twitter at the Q-Spot Pod, at the Q-Spot Pod for the podcast. We got some great guests coming on this week, so we'll talk some Gooners on Tuesday. Recap Manchester City and Liverpool. Cathal Conlon, I'm calling you out also. You and Feldman, watching out for you two, Liverpool boys. And then we're back, New England Soccer Weekly, next Saturday on 1510 WUFC. And back here again on the new WUFC at 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock. Saturday night when the Revs take on Toronto for the postgame show. So, again, thank you to Revs President Brian Bilello for coming on today. Brad Feldman doing a little impromptu interview at the end here. Thank you so much, Brad. And to all our callers, thank you so much for calling in this evening. Again, final time. Revs take down Chivas USA. Huge 3 points tonight for New England by a final count of 1-0. New England now 9-12-3 on the year. Chivas USA 6-12-6. New England sitting in sixth place, 1 point behind the New York Red Bulls. A win next week could mean that this team sits in third. Unbelievable just to think where we were back in the beginning of July. The Revs, winners tonight for P. Cahill. Thank you, P. Cahill. I almost forgot your name for a second there. I'm sorry, buddy. Sorry, buddy. But P. Cahill back in Quincy taking control of this evening. Thank you so much, brother. I'm Tom Quinlan signing off. We'll see you next time from Gillette. Good night.